الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous classes we were reading that which the author here mentioned رحمه الله تعالى about the prohibition of bribery and the different aspects that this occurs, the different aspects of الرشوة, whether one will bribe someone directly to give them that right that they do not deserve, or to prohibit someone a right from that which they deserve, or not directly by giving a gift. And we have seen the issue of hadaya al-ummal, giving the government workers and the state officials and those who have particular positions and offices that they receive wages for performing their duties. To give the likes of these individuals a gift is also forbidden and prohibited and not allowed. Rather, it's considered here from the major sins, gurul. And we have seen the wisdom behind that for one, it is a means to cause the individual to become inclined to that person and to be unjust in his ruling and his dealing, and to possibly give the individual a right he does not have, or to overlook some affairs with regards to him and the likes like this. And this is the case if the person who gave the gift in the first place, he was sincere and he only wanted to give a gift. But many times this is not the case for the people in these particular positions, in these particular offices and the likes like this. That one will give them a gift many times in order to draw them close to them, in order for them to bring some benefit about for them, or to overlook some affairs and the likes like this. So from this aspect, that it could lead to injustice, that it could be at bare minimum a means that leads to injustice and corruption of the order of the society and the likes like this, then this is forbidden. So for example, the one who has a public office, or he has a position where he is paid wages and he's required to perform responsibilities and duties, it's not allowed to give this individual a gift, any from those citizens who come to deal with that individual in that office, it's not allowed for them to give the gift, and neither is allowed for them to accept that. They have wages that they are paid to perform these obligations and to fulfill these requirements. And many times a person who will come and only give them a gift in order to have some hand with them, in order for them to do something for them, violating the rights of others, giving them preference and showing them favoritism and the likes like this, or overlooking some faults or mistakes that they have, or overlooking some violations that they have in order to get his paperwork through, or to get his aims and his goals achieved, and the likes like this, by violating the rights and overlooking the requirements and the likes like this. So this could lead to this affair if it was not intended in that manner in the first place. So all of this is forbidden. We send the example likewise, one who was a teacher, anyone who was a teacher for the government schools or the state schools and the likes like this, the one who has in his hands the grades of the students, and it's according to his judgment whether the student will pass or whether the student will fail. Whether the student will pass or whether the student will fail. It's not allowed to give the likes of this teacher a gift, any form from the student. It's not allowed for the student to give the likes of this teacher a gift, because it could cause his heart to deal unjustly in dealing with his grades, and to overlook some errors or mistakes that he has, and to be gentle in dealing with him and not being just and showing favoritism. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned likewise, for example, the doctor, someone who is a doctor, and he has a patient, and the doctor, of course, no doubt he's getting paid for his wages. He's getting paid for his wages and his position that he's there. He's a doctor and he performs his occupation, and he has a salary for that, and he's paid wages for that. So therefore, it's not allowed for the patient to give him a gift, and because this could be a means if it was not even intended. If it was not even intended, that this could be a means for now this doctor to show more favoritism and concern for this particular patient, and to tell the people, look out for this patient. He has a special eye with me. He has a special hand with me. And this would also lead to the other patients who do not have the money to give gifts, or who did not give the gifts. Maybe they will be shown a different type of dealing, and maybe they will be oppressed. And likewise, this could lead to the affair of this bribery being set in place, that the person, he will not do his job except for a gift. And this is something that is also seen. Sometimes particular secretaries in particular offices who take care of documents and the likes like this, that whenever a person, he will send his paperwork forward, at the same time, maybe that secretary or maybe that person in the office, he will open up his drawer, meaning it's known that along with putting your paperwork in, you're supposed to put something in the drawer along with that, meaning a gift, meaning it's something that is known. So if the gift doesn't go in the drawer, then maybe the paperwork is not dealt with properly. So it leads to this affair being a means of violating the rights and corrupting the order of society and the likes like this. So therefore, it's not allowed. As for in other situations, not in the likes of this case, then it's allowed. Of course, we've seen that it's rather recommended to give gifts. So for example, a teacher, for example, who teaches the children in the masjid, it's allowed for that child to give that teacher a gift, because it's not hope that he's going to pass them or to fail them and the likes like this. So in this circumstance, it's different. As for whenever it's a public office, or it's an official office, or the person, he's getting paid wages for his work, and then it's hoped from this individual particular benefit or an advancement, or is feared likewise, like a teacher in a public school or in a private school or in the official offices, it's in his hands that a person will fail or will flunk, that a person, he will pass or he will fail. So therefore, for this reason here, it could lead to this favoritism being shown and to this bribery taking place, whether it was intended or not. As for a teacher who's teaching the children and the likes like this, for free, or in the masjid and the likes like this, it's not the same situation. Whether he gave him a gift or not, it's not going to change the dealings like him to show love for the teacher or to show respect for the teacher and the likes like this. So the circumstances are different. So the one who has an office, or the one who has a position, and he gets paid wages for that, and then at the same time, it's hoped from him certain benefits, or feared from him that he will not perform his duty properly, and the likes like this, to give him a gift is considered from the same aspect. Of rishwa, and it's not allowed. Likewise, we read in the previous class the chapter with regards to the shafa'ah, and this is where we had stopped in our previous class, Bab al-Hadiyati al-Shafa'ah, the chapter with regards to giving gifts for someone to make intercession on behalf of them. We have seen in our previous class likewise that the intercession is whenever an individual, he will be in need, and he will need something from someone, and he's not able to go to them directly because he has no relationship with them. So therefore, he'll go to a second person who has a connection and relationship with the individual that the first person needs something from, and he will ask him to go to that individual or to that party and the likes like this, or to that office on behalf of him, to bring about some good for him or some benefit in the worldly life, or in order to remove some harm from him. So if the intercession is for something that is permissible, if the intercession is for something that is allowed, then this is considered an action of worship, and it's something that a person, he will do for the sake of Allah, and he will hope for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. The shafa'ah is something that someone, he will do for his brother, and he will use his status or his rank or his position with particular people in order to help his brother and to aid him and to support him. So it must be for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is number one. Number two, if the shafa'ah or the intercession was done on behalf of somebody for something that's haram and not permissible, then this is not allowed in the first place. So therefore, in both cases, it's not allowed to receive a gift. It's not allowed to receive a gift for interceding on behalf of others. For interceding on behalf of others. So the one who intercedes on behalf of somebody for something that is allowed and permissible, something that is good and noble and upright, then that person, he does that for the sake of Allah. Then that person, he does that for the sake of Allah. If somebody tried to give him a gift for that, then he will refuse it and he will not accept it. Then he will refuse it and he will not accept it, and he will tell them that this intercession that I made and this effort I made on your behalf is for the sake of Allah. And the reward is from Allah Azza wa Jal. And the reward is from Allah Azza wa Jal. Zakhallahu khayra. As for the one who interceded on behalf of somebody for something haram and impermissible, and then somebody wanted to give him a gift for that, likewise it's not allowed. It's not allowed to intercede in the first place. So how could he repay him and recompense him with a gift? Yani for interceding on his behalf for something haram. So this is even more severe. So this is even more severe. So this is the case with the shafa'ah. So the author, he mentioned the narrations, and we read, he says, وَعَنْ أَبِي أُمَامَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا مَنْ شَفَعَ لِأَخِيهِ شَفَاعَةٍ فَأَهْدَ لَهُ هَدِيَةً عَلَيْهَا فَقَبِيلَهَا فَقَدْ أَتَى بَابًا عَظِيمًا مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الرِّبَى رَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُدَ. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Umamah radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever intercedes on behalf of his brother, that whoever intercedes on behalf of his brother, meaning an intercession for something that is beneficial and something that is allowed and something that is good, and he helping him get a position in a particular job or an occupation, or helping him get admitted into a particular university or whatever the affair may be, from the affairs that are beneficial and from the affairs that are allowed and from the affairs that are permissible. Whoever helped his brother to do this, he made an intercession on behalf for his brother, and then his brother gave him a gift and he accepted that, then indeed he has come to one of the great aspects, from the aspects of a riba, yani meaning he has fallen into this affair. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that this is similar to riba, or that he's coming to the avenues from the avenues of a riba, then this is an indication that this is not allowed, and this is in order to run the people away from this. Yani, and the fact is that the individual, he does the intercession for the sake of Allah. A person, he will make an intercession on behalf of his brother, and he will help him in this manner with the status that he has for the sake of Allah. So the fact that he receives on top of that another benefit is like interest. It's like interest, because in interest, whenever a person, he pays the riba, he pays the amount that he owes, and likewise he pays more. So this person here, he had done what he was supposed to do, and he had interceded on behalf of that individual, and now he has a reward. He has a reward with Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise the individual is considering him yani from those who are noble and helpful and praiseworthy. And then on top of that, he receives a reward from the gift and the likes like this. So this is an increase on that which is allowed. So from this aspect, it's similar to riba. And this is what is intended here, and Allah knows best. And likewise, with regards to the riba, the interest, whenever something is halal and is permissible, the dealings and the contracts, maybe originally they're permissible, whenever the interest gets involved now, it removes all of that and destroys all of that. That which was permissible before now becomes haram, and that permissibility is violated and is corrupted. So in the same manner, the person who interceded on behalf of somebody for his brother, and that reward that he's seeking with Allah Azza wa Jal, and that great blessing that he's hoping from Allah Azza wa Jal, is violated, and he has no reward anymore in that manner, because he had received a worldly reward on behalf of that. So the intercession, if it's for something good, it must be for the sake of Allah. It must be for the sake of Allah. And if it was for something foul, then no doubt he could not receive a gift for that, for doing something evil and something that is haram. So in any case, it will not be allowed to accept that, and Allah knows best. Especially if it was in the case of somebody who interceded on behalf of their brother for something that's obligatory. For something that's obligatory. The people of not, as they mentioned, for example, an individual, he's weak and he's oppressed, and somebody has status or position or a good relationship with somebody of authority, and he's able to go to that person of authority and intercede on behalf of his brother who is weak and oppressed. So here, the one who has the ability to aid his brother while he's oppressed, this is an obligation. Unsur akhaka dhariman aw madhluman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, aid your brother whenever he is oppressed or oppressed. So to aid the believer who is oppressed is an obligation for the one who has the ability. So the type of intercession now here in this example would be considered an obligation upon that person. So even greater is not allowed for him to take any money or take a gift based upon that. Based upon that, whether it's an obligation that he has to perform for the sake of Allah in the first place. That he has to perform for the sake of Allah in the first place. The author, he says, وَرَوَى إِبْرَهِيمُ الْحَرْبِي عَنْ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ السُّحْتُ أَنْ يَطْلُبَ الرَّجُلُ الْحَاجَةَ فَتُقْضَى لَهُ فَيُهْدَى إِلَيْهِ فَيَكْبَرُهَا فَيُهْدَى. يعني there's a yeah here, but it should be Alif Maksura. Alif Maksura. فَيُهْدَى إِلَيْهِ فَيَكْبَرُهَا. The author, he mentioned a narration by Ibrahim al-Harbi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the narrators of hadith. He mentioned a narration from Abdullah bin Mas'ud, وهو حديث موقوف, meaning that this is from the statement of Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه. He says, السحت أن يطلب الرجل الحاجة فتقضى له فيهدى إليه فيقبلها. السحت, he's saying here, رضي الله عنه, السحت, we have seen that in many cases this word is used to refer to specifically as arishwa. Arishwa, and the bribes that are paid. And this is something that the Yahud, they were well known for. And as-suht in general is any taking something or is committing a crime, a prohibition, something that is a violation, that is impermissible, severely impermissible. As-suht yani al-haram, shadid al-tahrim. Something that is severely impermissible and not allowed. And from that, taking the wealth of the people unrightfully. And from that, bribery. And from that, this affair here. So he's saying, radiallahu anhu, that as-suht, or this impermissible wealth, you know, taking the people's wealth unrightfully, or this type of bribery and the likes like this, is that a man, he will request for a particular need to be taken care of, and to be taken care of for him on his behalf, and then it will be taken care of, and somebody will fulfill that for him, and then he will be given a gift for that, and then he would accept it. And so he's considering here this to be as-suht, yani meaning that it's haram, that's very impermissible, that it's not allowed, that a person, he will have a need, and then he will ask an individual to help him to do that, and to intercede on his behalf, and fulfill that for him, and then after that he will go to him, and he will give him a gift for that, and then that person would accept it. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is saying this is suht. So he says, وَلَهُ عَنْ مَسْرُوقٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And also has been narrated by him, yani Ibrahim al-Harbi, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, from Masruq. Masruq ibn Ajda'. He's from the great students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He's a Mukhadram. He died in the year 63. He says that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, مَنْ رَدَّ عَنْ مُسْلِمٍ مَظْلَمَةً فَأَعْطَاهُ عَلَيْهَا قَلِيلًا أَوْ كَثِيرًا فَهُوَ سُحْت. قُلْنَا يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ مَا كُنَّا نَرَى السُحْتَ إِلَّا الرِّشْوَةَ إلا الرشوة في الحكم قال ذلك كفر ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentions in this narration here also hadith al mawquf, that whoever defends his brother from an oppression, and he defends his brother while he's being oppressed, and he takes care of that for him, and then his brother gave him a gift for that, whether it's a small or a lot, whether it's a small gift or a large gift, then this is considered suht. That the brother, that a person, he will take care of a need for his brother and help him out, and he intercede on his behalf and the likes like this, and then after that he gives him a gift, he says here, radiallahu anhu, that this is considered from those affairs that are impermissible and haram. So they say now, the students of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, they said, oh Abu Abdurrahman, we did not used to think that suht was anything except for arishwa fil hukum. We used to think that the word suht, whenever it's used, what is intended is bribery in the judgment, meaning in the courts. And this was the most well-known actions of the Jews with regards to that. And with regards to the rishwa, what they were well-known for specifically was with regards to making judgments in the courts and rulings against the people and the likes like this, that they would lean and that they would be inclined to the one who would pay them, and therefore they would rule for them, and they would contradict the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal in order to rule for these people and to overlook affairs in order to have a dollar, or in order to have some money or some wealth and the likes like this, in order to have some wealth and the likes like this in the ruling. So then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, as for that, as for the rishwa with regards to the judgment and the ruling, he said, that's disbelief. That's disbelief. He said, what I'm talking about here, this is suht, and this is haram. This is severely impermissible. As for what you're talking about, then this is disbelief. Then he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. And whoever does not rule and judge with that which Allah has revealed, then indeed these people, they are disbelievers. They are disbelievers. So ruling by other than that which Allah has decreed or ruled, we have seen in previous classes in Kitab al-Tawheed specifically, that this is different levels. And some aspects of that will be considered major disbelief, and other aspects of that will be considered lesser than that. It would be considered a major sin, but it would not be considered major disbelief according to the circumstance and according to the situation, and particularly the creed of the one who had ruled in that manner. So this is the issue with regards to the shafa'ah, meaning the intercession, that somebody who would intercede on behalf of his brother to help him, to aid him, to bring about some good for him, or to remove or lighten some harm or difficulty from him. This has to be for the sake of Allah. It's not allowed to give a gift for that or to receive a gift for that. So the shafa'ah, again, likewise, similar to the hadiyah, this is something that is praiseworthy in general, but there are circumstances and situations that it's not allowed because of what it could lead to. Because of what it could lead to. So with regards to the shafa'ah, it has proceeded. لا شفاعه في الحدود. There's no shafa'ah. There's a chapter about that previously. You cannot intercede on behalf of somebody in the legal punishments and the limits that have been set. We have seen that that's a major crime and a major sin likewise. That the legal punishment would reach the ruler. It would reach the ruler and the judge would learn about it. And then somebody would come and try to intercede on behalf of that person after that ruling has already reach the Muslim judge. Now it's not allowed to intercede. Rather, now that affair has been made public and that the Muslim judge has learned about that affair, the law of Allah must be applied and the rule of Allah must be implemented. And it's not allowed to intercede at this time. And we've seen the issues of that. And likewise, it's not allowed to intercede as well for somebody if it's going to harm them or harm others. And it's going to bring about harm, or to intercede on behalf of somebody in a manner that is harmful for somebody, or their rights are going to be violated, or to intercede in an issue that is impermissible or not allowed. All of this is not permissible. Likewise, to intercede in this manner and then take a gift for that, and to take a gift for that. So after this, the author, he says, Babul Ghulul. Wa qawli Allahi ta'ala, the chapter of Al-Ghulul. We have seen previously that Al-Ghulul, it means Al-Khiyana fil-Maghnam, or Al-Khiyana fil-Maghnami wa nahwihi. This is what is intended specifically. Al-Khiyana fil-Maghnam wa nahwihi. Al-Khiyana, meaning betrayal, and to act in treachery. And what is intended specifically is to take from the spoils of war before they're divided. So in the battles with the Muslim army, that which is obtained from the wealth of the enemy, it must be gathered and collected and turned in. And then after that, those spoils will be calculated, and then they will be divided amongst the soldiers' property. And to take anything from that wealth there before it's divided is considered ghulul. And this is a major sin. Similar like that was the gift that is given to the government worker. And that was also considered ghulul. Because here the worker, he's working for the Muslim government, and he's getting paid wages for the Muslim government. And then he takes something on top of that, along with that. And so this is something that he does not deserve. This has proceeded. That was also considered ghulul. Khiyana, meaning he's taking the wealth and the money unlawfully. But in general, the ghulul here is what is intended, is taking from the spoils of war before they are collected and divided properly. And he's stealing that. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَمَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيٍ أَن يَغُلُ وَمَن يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the author, he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that he says, and it's not for a prophet to make the غُلُول. It's not for a prophet and يغول, يعني to make the غرور, meaning to take anything from the spoils of war before they are collected and divided. Before they are collected and divided. It's not for a prophet to ever do that. And then Allah, He says, and whoever makes the غلول, and then he will come with that which he has stolen on the day of resurrection. We have seen that likewise in the previous class as well. The individuals, they will come, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, well, some of them he had taken camels, others he has taken horses, and the likes like this. He'll come carrying those affairs. Others he has taken gold with silver. He'll come carrying that on his back. He will come carrying that on his back. And while those things are making the noises that they make, and the likes like this, and this is in disgrace and in exposure in front of the people. Even some of them will ask for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to intercede on behalf of them and helping them at this time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say to them, "I amliku laka min Allahi shay'a, qad balagtuka. I have no authority. I cannot help you against Allah whatsoever today. I have conveyed the message to you. I have conveyed the message to you." So the message is conveyed. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the reason for the revelation of this particular verse, that this verse here was revealed, hadhihi al-aya laha sababun linuzuliha. There's a reason for this particular verse being revealed, and that is that in one of the battles on the day, it was on the day of Badr, and the battle of Badr, that there was a qatifa hamra, there was a red garment that had come up missing, that after the battle they had gathered the spoils of war, and then they were looking for a particular garment, and that garment, they could not find it was missing. So some of them, they said, possibly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took it. And he thinking that maybe it's allowed for him because he is the leader and he is the one of authority. And then this verse was revealed. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍّ أَن يَغُولَ. It is not for a prophet to ever steal and take from the spoils of war before they have been collected and divided properly. And so if that's the case, if it's not allowed for a prophet, then those after the prophets and messengers alayhi salatu wasalam, definitely it's not allowed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not take that. And this is something that they had thought, and he possibly because he is the leader and he is the ruler of the army and the likes like this. But Allah azza wa jalla, he revealed in this case to clarify that was not the case, and that is not allowed, not for a prophet or anyone else. Not for a prophet or anyone else. To clarify again, that this is going to be something from the major sins. That a prophet, he will never do that. And anybody who does that, then they will come and they will bring that which they had stolen and had taken unlawfully on the day of resurrection. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says, عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنُّهُ قَالَ لَمَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ خَيْبَرْ انْطَلَقْنَا إِلَى الْوَادِ وَمَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ عَبْدٌ لَهُ يُقَالُ لَهُ مِدْعَمْ فَلَمَّا نَزَلْنَا الْوَادِيَ رُمِيَ بِسَحْمٍ فَمَاتْ. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and he says that whenever it was on the day of the conquest of Khaybar, and this is briefly after the conquest of Khaybar, that we went out to a valley, and along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one of his slaves, and his name is Mid'am. So whenever they came into this valley, suddenly he was struck with an arrow and he died. And this particular slave that was along with them, his name is Mid'am. So he had been along with them, and likewise it's mentioned, that they had all been engaged in this battle, not long before this. And then suddenly they come to this valley, and this individual, he was struck with an arrow and he died. So the companions, they said, فَقُلْنَا هَنِيًّا لَهُ بِالشَّهَادَةِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So the companions, whenever they seen this, he was struck with an arrow suddenly out of nowhere, and he died like this. And they're in war, in a battle. And so the companions, they said, oh, how good is it for him that he's given martyrdom, and he's going to be a shaheed, O Messenger of Allah. And they testified for him for this great and high rank and status. And because they're in battle, and he had been fighting along with them, and now he is struck with an arrow and he died. So they're looking at the situation from the apparent, from that which is apparent. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, فَقَالَ كَلَّا وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. He said, كَلَّا وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. He said, no, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand. إِنَّ الشَّمْلَةَ أَلَّتِي أَخَذَهَا يَوْمَ خَيْبَرَ لَتَلْتَهِبُ عَلَيْهِ نَارًا أَخَذَهَا مِنَ الْمَغَانِمِ لَمْ تُسِبْهَا الْمَقَاسِمِ. أخذها من المغانم لم تسبها المقاسم. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, no, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, the shamla that he took on the day of Khaybar. The shamla, yani, it's a garment, a one-piece garment. And it's a one-piece garment, either that would be wrapped around the person entirely or on his top or on his bottom and the likes like this. It's a type of garment, a one-piece material, a one piece garment from material. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took that. This garment here that he took on the day of Khaybar is engulfing him in fire. And meaning that this garment is turned into flames, and he's burning in that. He took this garment before the spoils they were divided. He took this garment before the spoils were divided. At this time, Fafazia and Nas, at this time, the people, they became very frightened whenever they heard this. This man, he's fighting along with the believers against the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then suddenly he's struck with an arrow and dies. And all of the people, they think good about him from what they know and what they have seen. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was aware of something that they were not aware of. And that is that he had taken something from the spoils of war unlawfully. And that thing that he had taken was just a garment. It was not gold. It was not silver. It was not great weapons. It was not, yani, a great amount of. It's a garment, a one piece of clothing, yani, of cloth, and the likes like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It's around him, engulfing him in flames." So whenever the people, they heard this, they became frightened. فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ بِشِرَاقٍ أَوْ شِرَاقَيْنِ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَصَبْتُ يَوْمَ خَيْبَرَ فَقَالَ شِرَاقٌ أَوْ شِرَاقَانِ مِنْ نَارٍ أَخْرَجَاهُ. So at this time, whenever the people, they became frightened about this affair, and he became very serious now. So a man, he came بِشِرَاقٍ أَوْ بِشِرَاقَيْنِ. The shiraq is the shiraq al-na'al. It is the sayr. It is the string that goes on the top of the sandal, where the feet go, where the toes go, that holds the toe onto the bottom of the sandal. There's a string that goes there. And that'll go around the top of the foot and then through the toe and like this. And this is the part that holds the sandal to the foot. The bottom of the sandal to the foot is called shiraq. So a man, he brought one or two of those. This is something very small. This is something very minor. And it's a piece of cloth, and the likes like this, or string that's customized to where it'll fit on a piece on the bottom of a sandal to hold a person's foot in place. And then he brought one or two of those, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I got this on the day of Khaybar. I got this on the day of Khaybar." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Shirakun o shirakani min nar." He said that those are one or two strings from the fire. And whether it was one or two, Wallahu A'lam, is a doubt about that. But in any case, this is something that there's a great threat with. Meaning that this is something that is from the fire. Meaning it will be a means to punish that individual had he not repented. So this is a clarification that it's not allowed to take anything from the spoils of war, not minor or major. And the one who takes something, even if it's something small, or even if something light or something little, or it's not even something that's very valuable, he took that without right from those spoils before they're divided by the Muslim ruler. And the likes like this, this is a major sin. This is a major sin, and this is the point of the narration. This is the point of the narration. And also from the benefits of this narration, likewise, we see that it's not allowed to say about somebody that he's shaheed. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reprimanded them with regards to this. And Bukhari, rahimahullah, he has a chapter in his Sahih whenever he mentioned Babu la yuqal fulanun shaheed. And al-Bukhari, al-Imam al-Bukhari, he has a chapter in Sahih al-Bukhari. It says Babu la yuqalu fulanun shaheed, the chapter that you should not say so and so he's a martyr. And you should never say that directly. You cannot say that directly. Rather, what one could say is, it's hope that he's a martyr. It's hope that he's accepted from the shuhada. Oh Allah, accept him from the shuhada. We hope that his efforts were accepted, but no one will be certain. No one will be certain about that, because this is something from the affairs of the unseen. Just as they thought that was the case from what they seen outwardly, but there was something hidden from them that was a reality that they were unaware of. So likewise, if somebody, he died in battle, and it's apparent outwardly that maybe he was sincere in that. But as for the true sincerity, that's with Allah Azza wa Jal. So no one will be certain and say, so-and-so is a shaheed, so-and-so is a shaheed, so-and-so is a shuhada. This is something that a person, he has no knowledge of. This is in reality from the affairs of the unseen. After this, Bukhari, he mentioned ta'liqan, قال أبو هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الله أعلم بمن يجاهد في سبيله والله أعلم بمن يكرم في سبيله. There's a narration the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, Allah knows best who was fighting in his path. Allah knows best who was wounded in his path. And he meaning in his path, meaning sincerely for the sake of Allah. So therefore, one, he would not say so-and-so is a shaheed. He would not say so-and-so is a shaheed. And this is something that they're doing left and right today. And they do this. Somebody, maybe he's from the most corrupted of the people, and he'll die in the worst of places, like in these mudaharat, and so on and so forth. And then somebody, he's a shaheed. He's a shaheed. This is not allowed. This is not allowed. Even if a person, he was in a battle, and he's fighting with a Muslim ruler, and he was killed in that manner, it's not allowed to say he's a shaheed. It's one he will say yurja lahu shahada, yurja lahu al-khair. We hope that he was accepted. We hope that his efforts are good. But no one would ever say that with certainty, because this is something from the affairs of the unknown or from the affairs of the unseen. No one knows who Allah accepts and who Allah does not accept. Similarly, like that, one will never say, so-and-so is in Jannah. So-and-so is in Jannah. Like this, except for those whom Allah and His Messenger have mentioned. And except for where there's a clear text, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says so-and-so is in Jannah, then we say so-and-so is in Jannah. Or if he says so-and-so is a shaheed, then we say so-and-so is a shaheed, like this. This is because we have a text from the Quran or from the Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said Umar is a shaheed. He said Uthman is a shaheed. He said that Ali is a shaheed, radiallahu anhum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that. He said Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas fil Jannah. All of the ones that are known. So we say they're in Jannah. He said Mihsan, Ukash ibn Mihsan is in Jannah. So therefore we say he's in Jannah. But as for people after them, who we have no certain knowledge about, even if they did all of the good deeds, apparently that's what we know from them, we will never be certain about that. Rather, we say that we hope he's in Jannah. We hope that Allah will forgive him. We hope that Allah will raise his rank. We hope that Allah will place him in his mercy in this matter like this. And this is the creed of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. As for the one who died upon sin, who died upon a foul way, but we know that he was a Muslim, then we say it's feared for him. It's feared for him that he may receive punishment. So likewise, on the other hand, no one will say, so-and-so is in the nar. So-and-so is in the fire. Somebody who was a Muslim but he died upon major sin, for example. Somebody who was a Muslim but he died upon major sin, for example. Nobody would say about him, certainly, he's in the fire, or he's being punished in his grave, or he went to the anger of Allah. Waliyadu billah. Rather, it's feared. Those who die upon sin, it's feared for them, the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And those who die in a good manner, it's hope for them, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And anyone who dies upon Islam, then his final destination and his final outcome will be the mercy of Allah and the paradise. The mercy of Allah and the paradise. And this is likewise the creed of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. After this, the author, he says, Rahimahullah, Babu Ta'atil Umara. Babu Ta'atil Umara. The chapter with regards to obeying the leaders. Babu Ta'ati al Umara, Yani fil Ma'ruf. Yani fil ma'ruf, the obligation of obeying the rulers, meaning in that which is allowed and permissible. Meaning in that which is allowed and permissible. This is something, no doubt, of utmost importance. And the religious affairs and the worldly affairs, they cannot be established properly except if there is a congregation. Except whenever there's a congregation and community. And in this manner, the religion is established. The religious affairs are established, and the deen is established, and the tawheed is spread, and likewise the sunnah. Whenever there's unification And whenever there is congregation, and whenever the hearts are united upon the truth, upon the correct creed and the correct methodology, at this time the believers, they become strong. They become strong. And likewise in the worldly affairs as well, the economy and the benefits come in the worldly life as well. Whenever the believers are united upon the correct creed and the correct belief, and they're together and they have unity. And they have unity. So this is a legislative goal, to be united. To be united. The believers, they should be not united, and they should not divide. They should be united upon the truth and not upon falsehood. They should be united upon the sunnah and not upon innovation. And the life scientists, they should be united upon the way of the Sahaba, not upon the way of anybody else. And not upon the way of anybody else, radiallahu anhum. So this is no doubt a legislative goal. And this goal cannot be obtained except with a leader. Except with a leader. So if there's no leader, then there will never be unification. If there's no leader, there will never be unification. There will never be unification. There must be a leader. The Muslims, they must have a leader. And there will never be a leader except if there is obedience to his command and to his orders, and complying and following his directions. And following his directions. So this is something that is intended specifically. And even that there must be unification. And there can be no unification except if there's a man to be united behind. And there, that not exist except along with obeying him and following him. And except with obeying him and following him. So this is from the affairs that are of utmost importance. And Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.